Today is all about the prime timers. And I just want to tell you now, I want to pick on you a little bit. Everybody turn to your neighbor. Tell them Pastor Dwayne's going to pick on you a little bit. There's a truth in my life. Everybody that I love gets picked on just a little bit. When you start the conversation, when you poke around online, you find mixed feelings and mixed emotions and mixed messages about what age range makes up the prime time years. For my purposes today, I am using 55 years as the prime time years. Was that a good yes? Okay. Stick with me. Come on now. Don't do that. Here's the deal. If you get a senior discount, at Arby's, Best Western, Bob Evans, Bonefish, Carrabba's, Chick-fil-A, Chili's, Dairy Queen, Dunkin' Donuts, Hardee's, IHOP, Krispy Kreme. I didn't make it to the W's. I already had enough to prove my point, Daniel. If you get a discount at any of those places, I'm talking to you today. Now, here's the problem, though. The problem is that this is the one age group in this entire series where the people in that age group don't think they're in that age group. I'm not kidding. I preached 3 weeks ago to the children about children. I don't have a single child come up to me and said, Pastor, I'm 8 years old. I am not a child. No, everybody, they accept it like we're the children of the church. The teens, I don't have a single teenager come up to me and be like, I am not an adolescent. I didn't have a single middle-aged adult last week come up to me and like, Pastor, I am so offended. I'm 48 and you refer to me as a middle-aged adult and I'm not a middle-aged adult. I didn't have that. But if you ask this group, it is hard to get a straight answer. It's hard to get a straight answer, and I'm trying to figure that out. I wonder if some of us are embarrassed by our age or some of us are embarrassed by some of the realities that accompany that age. But I say, what an honor it is to be your age. 2 years ago, we were in Swaziland, Africa. A group of 12 of us went over to work with the Loot Commission. I don't have the verbatim quote, George, but essentially what was said to our own George Smith was, you will receive respect and honor in the community just by virtue of your age and your gray hair, because with their lifespan, they don't see people grow into their older years very much in this community. What an honor it is to be your age. Now, just a few weeks ago, though, I was speaking to someone about this particular series, and I kid you not, I had a 73-year-old say to me, Pastor, that's not my age group because that man has a cane up there. said that to me. When talking about primetime ministry here at Centerpoint a couple months ago, I kid you not, I had an 80-year-old say to me, Pastor, I'm not a prime timer. Those people are old. I had an 80-year-old say that to me. Newsflash, Centerpoint. We are, this is the part of the homiletical journey where I would love to just have you say it with me, but I won't do that to you. We are. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, experiencing the passing of time at the same exact rate. 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year at a time. Birthdays roll around 365 days a year for every single one of us, and you cannot escape them. Nor, though, should you be embarrassed by them. The only difference between us in terms of age is that some of us got started on our particular journey sooner than others. Those of you that are in your prime time years simply got started earlier than the rest of us. And all of us, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are headed in the same direction. And the question that we have to answer is, how will we respond to the latter portion of our years? I was told this week, Thursday in fact, I was told on Thursday by a 64-year-old that she was on the downhill slide of life. And I get the image, I'm just not sure what to do with the image. You see, here's the thing. We were talking about some other realities going on in her life, and she described her current 64 years as the downslide of life, and she wasn't describing the Geico commercial, you know, with the pig who's like, wee, 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 you know, that dude's having fun. She was describing the downhill slide of life as in, it's pretty much over for me. My best days are behind me. I have nothing to look forward to. It's kind of that kind of a way. Pastor, I'm on the downhill slide of life. And here's the thing. I don't want to sound like an entitled 42-year-old this morning. But prime timers, I want to see more hope and more purpose and more meaning from you. I said I was going to pick on you a little bit. Here's the truth. I can't speak for all the 42-year-olds in the room. I can only speak for myself, but I'm watching you, you prime timers. I'm watching you to see how I should or should not do it when I am your age. I'm watching to see if, in fact, there is any hope or purpose or meaning or joy in the prime time years. Or should I just go ahead, put on my Eeyore face, and get ready for the downhill slide of life? After all, I'm only 13 years away from getting a discount at Arby's. That's going to be a great day, but I don't want it to hurry up and get here, right? You remember Eeyore? You remember what Eeyore looked like? I mean, do we embrace hope and joy and peace, or do we just throw on our Eeyore face and just say, well, here's the downhill slide of life? Do you remember what Eeyore sounded like? Let me remind you what Eeyore sounded like.
Good morning, Pooh Bear.
If it is a good morning, which I doubt.
However, yeah, now, did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No matter. Most likely lose it again anyway.
Poor dear. You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me. It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
When I hear a statement like the downhill slide of life, I basically hear, Dwayne, close up shop. Hope you had fun, but go ahead, sit on your butt and ride down the slide one last time. It's practically over for you. And prime timers, I came here today to pick on you a little bit, but to tell you that is nonsense. And most of you know that it's nonsense. I know it's nonsense because for the last 3.5 years, I have been keenly watching the older generation and asking the question, what does it look like to age well? And here's the truth. I don't care how you define it. You may say prime time starts at 55. You may say it starts at 65, 75, 85. You can postpone the label as long as you want, but show me older generations of Centerpoint, a life that keeps on living even while your shadow is lengthening. This is very dear and near to my heart because one of the people that I should be watching right now in my life to see what it looks like to age is my dad. And my dad essentially decided in his early 60s that there was nothing left to live for. I'm watching you, Center Point. How do you age well? How do you keep on living life while you have life to live it? How do you keep on living an abundant life? The life that Jesus promised for us. And here's the deal. If you're under 55 years old, I need you to kind of click back in with me for a minute. It doesn't matter how old you are today. If you have a generation coming after you, they are watching you to see how it's done. 12-year-olds, 8-year-olds are watching to see how it's done. 20-year-olds, 12-year-olds are watching to see what do you do. 35-year-olds, 20-year-olds are watching to see what's it mean to be 35. 35-year-olds are watching 50-year-olds, and 50-year-olds are watching 70-year-olds, and on and on and on. And here's the truth. The younger generations will do one of two things. They will either look and they will say, yes, 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 that's what I want in my life and in my family and in my faith when I am that age. I want joy and hope and peace and optimism like that. I want to keep going and growing with Jesus and doing and loving and serving and living that abundant life. Or the younger generation will look at the older generation and they will say, oh, is that? Like, is that it? I mean, is this what we have to look forward to? Crusty, bitter, isolated, grumpy, living in yesteryear, wishing I could get my glory days back. And many of that younger generation will simply resign themselves to the fact that the older I get, the closer it is to it all being over for me. I had a chance over the last couple of weeks to get some responses from some in the older generation here at Center Point. So I communicated with them and asked them, what's your greatest joys? And very much expected this, but here we go. Greatest joys of some of the prime timers at Center Point, grandkids, grandchildren. Keep going with me, Debbie. Grandchildren. Listen to this. Children and grandchildren. Now, children, I had several grandchildren responses before I ever had children. I came to tell you today, you're not as special to your parents as you think you are. Middle-aged adults, your parents are on to you. Middle-aged adults, your parents know that you only call when you need money or childcare. Greatest joys. Listen to this one fully. My kids and grandkids wanting to spend time with me. See, it's one thing to have a child or a grandchild that you're able to show to your friends via Facebook. It's another thing to have the child or the grandchild calling and saying, let's go do something together. Let's be together. Greatest joys, my grandson, mission trips. Biggest challenges you face as you grow older, my health. My mind says go, but my body says no. My health, not being able to do the things we used to do physically. Dementia or Alzheimer's, I can't do as much or as fast as I used to. What do you appreciate most about Centerpoint? The fellowship, the love, the fellowship, the outreach to the community, the love and the support of caring people, the friendships that I've made that will last the rest of my life, Bible-based teaching, have a community of believers with which to share life, Bible study, worship, service, and fellowship. What fears do you have about the future? People who are sitting in this room right now, my children and grandchildren struggling in our changing society. I'm concerned about those who don't think church is important. I know who holds the future, but I'm concerned about the loss of our heritage as a Christian nation. the salvation of loved ones, becoming dependent on my family to take care of me, how much the world has changed, and my children and grandchildren living in a difficult time. Very real fears of people in this age group sitting in our congregation. I ask this last question: how are you committing these years of your life to the kingdom of God? By serving and giving, by prayer, faithfulness to serve and to give, serving and praying and telling others about Jesus, volunteering, serving, praying. I have more time to serve others and volunteers. Prime timers, this is a season in life that you are free to volunteer and to give and to love and to serve and to pave a path for the upcoming generations by doing just those things, giving and loving and serving and praying. And I came today to tell you, prime timers, your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. And where this message started to get real for me, where like this thing really started to click for me this week over the last several days, is this idea. I asked the question, what are some of the greatest accomplishments in our world by people over the age of 65? Not a long list, just wanted to share a few with you. Noah Webster completed the American Dictionary of the English Language when he was 66 years old. Canadian Ed Whitlock became the oldest person to run a marathon in under 3 hours at age 69 years old. The downhill slide of life. Margaret Ringenberg flew around the world when she was 72 years old. And John Glenn became the oldest person to go into space when he was 77 years old. On the downslide of life. In Psalm 71, Jim read this for us earlier, the psalmist is dealing with a journey, the journey of life that ends in prayer. And here's where we are in verse 14. Grace is going to kind of follow along with me back there. Verse 14, the writer says, as for me, and my mind immediately went to the earlier passage in the Old Testament, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But in this context, the writer is talking about the generations. He's talking about getting older. And he throws out this caveat, as for me. And I couldn't simply help but pull back and envision the two prime timers having the conversation. And in one conversation, the prime timer refers to the downhill slide of life. And the other prime timer says, well, that may be okay for you, but as for me, that's not my image of these years. So the writer has already, he set up a boundary, right? He's already put a boundary in place to say, I'm gonna go about this journey as I feel the Lord would have me go about this journey. And so there's, he starts in verse 14, as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. In other words, the older I get, the more my hope will increase, and the older I get, the more I will praise you. By the time you're in your latter years, you should have a whole lot more for which to praise the Lord. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. He said there's so many. He says, the Lord has done so much in my life. I'm going to tell of his righteous deeds, but I don't even know how to tell about all of them. And prime timer, sometimes that's what happens is you sit the younger generations down and you try to tell them all out, and then you lose us, right? I told you I was going to pick on you a little bit. That was a joke. We had this thing. My grandma Adams, you know, dear soul, she would tell the same stories over and over again. So as a family, we just developed a little sign that we gave her so that when she started telling the same story, you know, for the 20th or 30th time, you simply just raise your finger and she knew like, oh, I've already told you that. Okay. And it was good to hear new stories sometimes. Verse 16. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. In other words, teenagers, are you listening? In other words, God started showing me, revealing to me the importance and the value and the priority of proclaiming his deeds to others when I was young. And even as I grew older, I continued to see the value and the benefit and the blessing that it was to proclaim the goodness of his deeds to others. You're putting in place now patterns and paths that will be at work for the rest of your life. And if in your younger years you understand this truth, I'm called to proclaim the good, righteous deeds of the Lord to those around me, that's a reality we carry with us into our older years. Verse 18, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. In other words, I know people are watching me. I know the generations coming after me are listening to me. They are watching and listening to see how it's done when I am old and gray. Last week, we had an incredible time of worship right here in our worship center. We welcomed our entire mission area to come in and meet our new DS, Pastor Dale Schaefer, and his family. And Pastor Dale led us in a night of worship and prayer and anointing. And we had just an incredible time together. And one of the elements that took place that night was a movement during the worship time where we were encouraged and we were invited to come forward and to write names of lost people, lost friends, lost loved ones, lost co-workers, to write their names on a print of the painting, Rembrandt's The Prodigal Son Returns. And there's a picture here from last week. It's kind of dark, but that's the picture there. Is people literally lined up right here to come and write names on the Rembrandt painting, The Prodigal Son Returns, as a way of saying to God, I'm going to commit to prayer for these people or this individual that one day they too might return to their Heavenly Father. Now here's the thing. That's obviously a print of the painting. Rembrandt's The Return of the Prodigal Son currently resides in St. Petersburg, Russia, at the Hermitage State Museum. And go ahead and bring that next slide up for Gracie. Essentially in the painting, there are six people in an arched doorway, and there is on the left an old man, one in his prime time years. There's a prime timer lovingly embracing a young man who is bowing his head in humility. This is his son who returned home after a long time squandering his father's wealth. And while the father is dressed, the father is dressed in fine clothes of abundance, clothes even maybe of royalty. The clothes worn by the one bowing are worn, they're tattered, they're dirty. His sandals are dirty. He wears a dagger on his belt. Historians believe that the dagger is there as Rembrandt's way of conveying that he had just come in from a dangerous outside world where he may have to fend for himself. On the right, though, is the older brother. The older brother is dressed in a red cloak and he has his hands folded and he is holding a cane. No pun intended, Dixie. He's holding a cane. At this age in the game, the older brother had been taken over by disapproval, by envy, by bitterness. We don't know how long the younger son was gone. We don't know if that journey for that older brother started in his 20s when his younger brother was 15 and he said, I'm ready to be out of here. We don't know if the journey started later in life and maybe even by the time the younger son left, the older brother was already a prime timer. But something's happened in this older brother's life. He's standing there. Rembrandt paints him holding a cane. He's in his prime time years. He's old and he's gray and he's bitter. He's envious. He's unwelcoming. Rembrandt was one of the most talented painters that this world has ever known. He's considered to be one of the most influential artists in history. But Rembrandt had a very eventful life. Rembrandt experienced extreme situations of poverty and adversity in his life. After losing his wife at 32 years of age, and shortly after that, having three of his children pass away. Earlier in his career, he was financially happy. He peaked early. Financial success, a wife, children. And it was later in life for him that things started to slowly pass away. The money was gone, his wife was gone, his children were gone, and he would live in financial ruin. Can you imagine that? One of the most influential, famous painters in the entire world living his later years in financial ruin. In the artist community, though, this painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son, is called Rembrandt's final word. Rembrandt's final word is a word of grace and forgiveness. Rembrandt's final word is a word of open arms to those that have been lost and broken and searching and seeking, maybe even those who have turned and walked away and said, enough. I don't want the image of life you're painting for me. And when he turned and came back, he found open, he found embrace. At this age of the game, prime timers, with your interesting, hopeful, joyful life of prayer and service and generosity, I plead to you to declare the power of God to the next generation. Declare his mighty acts to all who come. Embrace this season of life and model the way of Jesus for everyone coming after you. Psalm 71:18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God. Primetimers, God has not forsaken you. He is right beside you. So you, primetimers, declare the power of God to the next generation. Declare the grace of God to the next generation and the love of God to the next generation and the hope and the peace and the purpose of God to the next generation. I promise, at this age of the game, we are watching you to see how we can grow old in his will and in his way. And primetimers, in this way, you will serve the church. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for this word. God, thank you for a word that will not let us just embrace the downhill slide of life into nothingness. God, thank you for a life that you call us to that is filled with abundance, and that abundance is in ways that only you could ever develop, construct, calculate. God, we can't even imagine what you have in store for us. God, I pray this morning, God, for those who at whatever age feel like it's all over for them, feel like it's just time to close up shop. Those in this room right now who feel like that they've entered a stage in life where there is no meaning, there is no purpose. And God, even as we come alongside prime timers of Centerpoint, we see the blessing that it is for giving and sharing and serving and praying. God, I pray that those would become markers of this generation in this community, God, so that your truth and your love might be conveyed to the generations that are coming. God, I pray for those today who feel lonely or isolated. I pray for those today, Lord, who never thought life would turn out like this for them. God, will you help them to embrace a new day? Will you bring new fellowship into their lives? And God, I thank you today for those prime timers that are a part of this church, God, who are communicating to the generations after them that life is worth living, that even when shadows are lengthening, your grace is sufficient for us and your goodness walks along the path wherever we go. So God, at whatever age we are in the game, help us, Lord, to embrace it, to be thankful for it, and to commit those years to you. We love you today, Jesus. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us, God. Truly, may our lives be a blessing to others. In your strong name we pray. Amen. And I'm going to invite you to be seated. I'm going to ask my friend Dixie to come up. And Dixie is going to share a passage of Scripture with us that will essentially serve as a segue into next Sunday. Next Sunday will be Family Worship Sunday. Our kids will be in here with us, but in the church we'll be celebrating All Saints Day as we remember those that have passed away over the last year. And Dixie's going to share this passage, and I'm going to share just a couple thoughts with you before we close in prayer.
2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Amen. You know, this series is essentially centered on that. That this reward that comes to me, not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. And the truth is that in the midst of life, we don't know when our time truly will be up. So at this age of the game, center point, whether you're a child, you're a teenager, you're a middle-aged adult, you're a prime timer, may our lives be marked by the good fight, keeping the faith, finishing the race with which we set out on. And here's the greatest encouragement to all of that. We don't run this race alone. So when you look around the body of Christ, you see children and you see teenagers and you see middle-aged adults and you see prime timers. Center point, we're called to go together. Amen?
Amen.
That is a joy. So prime timers, you're not alone. You're loved. You're embraced. Thank you for the ways you love and serve your church. It's not taken for granted. We're watching you.